Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The podcast where we explore the more bizarre ways of getting through your day. This week, we have three fables. And let's begin with Milk Teeth. Lizella Prescott is the author of this story. You can find her on Medium.com. The evil sorceress retired upon her marriage, devoting herself to her husband and his land in the valley. After their first year together, she quickened with a son. As she swelled and curved, her husband forgot she had once ruled a land of darkness and ravening monsters. When their boy came roaring into the world with a mouthful of precocious teeth, the sorceress forgot as well. The boy spent his milk years in the garden with his mother. He toddled behind her as she cut herbs, healed bug-battered bushes, and collected precious seeds. He pulled on tender tomato plants and stuffed himself with strawberries. He grew tall, strong, and even somewhat useful. When his baby teeth fell out, the sorceress planted them in a row in front of their cabin.
"Why are you planting my teeth?"
he asked through a gummy, bloody grin. The sorceress replied, but the boy didn't hear her answer. He was running to greet his father, who had a doe over one shoulder and a bow over the other. The boy began spending his days in the woods with his father, learning to stalk and kill. The sorceress passed her days alone, tending the garden and storing vegetables for winter. She dreamed of a time when her life had been rougher and more vital, when kingdoms rose and fell at her command, when monsters roared and picked men from their teeth. She began working a little magic here and there to amuse herself. Nothing fancy, just simple, homey spells to make their cabin cleaner and more comfortable. Her husband praised her industry and advised their son to marry a hard-working woman like his mother. Her son inhaled his venison stew, wiped his mouth, and asked for more. One day, out of pure boredom, she turned their cabin into an old Castilian castle. When her husband emerged from the woods with a wild boar, he took one look at the dragon-filled moat and serpentine turrets and fled into the forest with their son. The sorceress sighed. She turned the castle back into a cabin and skinned the boar her husband had dropped. Her husband and son returned for a sullen dinner. No one said anything about what had happened. After the boy had gone to bed, her husband grabbed her arm. "Don't turn his head with your foolishness. I'm teaching him to hunt and fight like a real human man." The sorceress vaguely recalled killing insolent wretches. Her husband released her arm, yelping in pain. War came to the valley. The sorceress remembered war. It smelled like pine pitch and vomit and burning shit. She wanted to flee, but her husband vowed to defend his land. "We are not leaving. These woods have been in my family for 50 generations. Our blood has nourished the soil. I can protect them from any stray marauders." Her son, now 16, glowed with anticipation.
"And I can help you. I'm old enough to wield a staff."
Her husband smiled with fatherly pride. "Yes, yes you are." That very night, a band of deserters found their cabin and began tearing up the garden like a litter of piglets. The sorceress cursed softly. Her husband and son leaped from their beds and gathered their weapons. While they strapped on big sticks and small knives, she slipped outside and whispered a single word to her son's milk teeth still nestled in the earth. Grow. Huge ivory monsters with red eyes, wet gaping mouths, and pink prehensile tails exploded from the earth. After rubbing dirt from their faces with giant crab-like claws, they plucked the deserters like dandelions. They popped off their heads, drank their blood, and crushed their bones into the ground. Once sated, the monsters shrank back into teeth and slowly melted away. The sorceress turned to see her husband and son standing behind her, one frowning and the other wide-eyed and alert. She put her arm around her husband and hissed in his ear, "He's my son, too." And our next fable is Invoking the Affectionate Wrath of Aesop. Classical Sass brings us this story, and you can find her on Medium.com also. Once there was a woman named Schlurp who came down with a nasty cold. She didn't have any sick days because, as a self-employed musician, sick days are really just fancy for loss of income whilst vomiting days, and Schlurp didn't want that. She marched through several days of work only to discover her body wasn't recovering with its usual side-eye-laden rigor. On Thursday night, she had had enough and decided to give herself a thorough night's sleep by self-medicating with a mug of hot buttered rum. She prepped the drink and placed the mug on her nightstand. Schlurp settled in for an hour of sipping and reading, which would have been sedately wonderful had it actually happened. Instead, she immediately passed out in a blaze of squelchy snores the second her head touched her pillow. Schlurp awoke the next morning mostly not better. She attempted to tidy about the house. She put clothes away, grabbed her empty mug from the nightstand and put it in the sink, did the dishes, and let her pet beagle, Annie, out. Annie lurched outside, fumbled about for a few minutes, peed, then lurched back up the stairs, missing a step, and fling crashing herself into the screen door. Schlurp didn't think too much of this because Annie was a notorious goober. Schlurp sat herself on the couch and embraced her solitary day off with all the misguided hope found in a mound of okra and fenugreek. She was mere minutes into the fifth episode of the fifth season of American Horror Story when she noticed Annie bloop-derping across the living room floor. Her little beagle was struggling with her hind legs and forgetting which direction she needed to go. Annie finally convinced herself to go upstairs, an endeavor that suddenly required listening to one side and then the other, with an occasional thump into the railing. The top of the stairs turned out to be the summit of a goose chase, and Annie promptly changed course, although she forgot to turn around and wound up sliding ass first down the stairs. At this point, Schlurp was concerned. This was more goober than usual. Schlurp, being something of a concerned parent, immediately guessed either a stroke or a massive head injury and began Googling with reckless abandon. As the results flashed across her screen, degenerative eyeball disease? Acidic mucus syndrome? Toxic collar dye poisoning? Muscular dystrophy leading to dementia? Annie attempted to join Schlurp on the couch. Rather than pouncing onto the cushions with her usual routine gusto, she balanced precariously on her hind legs, then toppled over. Undaunted, Annie got up, tail wagging, and tried again, flinging herself at the couch with all the bewilderment of the possibly recently demented. She hit the side of the couch and slid to the ground, her happy snorts betraying her shady ability to take the situation seriously. Schlurp picked her up and cradled her, and tried to decide if she could pull her own health together for long enough to be safe in a vehicle. Schlurp held Annie up in front of her face, hoping vaguely for some telltale indication that immediate medical assistance was required. Annie's head sagged dopily to one side, and her furry belly rumbled and gurgled almost rhythmically. The little beagle huffed a little and kicked her feet, then straightened her neck so as to meet Schlurp eye to eye. Annie opened her mouth and released a belch so wet, so lengthy, so belligerently unremorseful that Schlurp's own mouth fell open in shock. And as Schlurp regrettably inhaled the now bile-laden fumes of cinnamon and nutmeg, butter and rum, she bemoaned her choices, each and every one. Moral: always, always finish your drink. And here is Loaded Bratwurst, a satire I wrote after reading the news about a parking rage incident in Germany. Gun control advocates are hailing the new law just passed as a major step in gun violence control in America. Since 2015, the last 20 years meant escalating gun violence in the U.S., now, in 2035, all citizens fear for their lives when they walk out the door. The law's chances seemed slim last month when the Republicans and Libertarians staged a sausage fest on the floor of the House. But then, a running gun battle between police and convenience store robbers armed with AK-47s on the mall took a piece of Lincoln's nose off at the Lincoln Memorial. Public outrage then fueled passage of the bill and signature by the president. The details of the bill are a bit sketchy at this point. Sausage as a weapon is new to the U.S. It's typical mostly in Germany and Austria. The bill supposedly enacts sweeping gun reforms, but enforcement remains a big question. Local police may be expected to take the lead. Most say they're familiar with the types of sausage to be handed out and how to use them. The main reform targets anyone with anger management issues, including road rage, and the slightly kooky. Anyone applying for a gun permit that falls into these categories during a polygraph test will be issued a sausage instead of a gun. The preferred sausage is a brat, which is American for bratwurst. Jaegers are available for those preferring a harder, leaner sausage. Metal rings on the sausage ends are permitted for defensive purposes and ease of carry. The reforms apply to gun shop owners, gun shows, and online sales. Shows and online sites are not happy about the polygraph tests, but most like the smell of sausage and worry a bit about their waistline with that much sausage hanging around. Word out of Germany and Austria indicates car denting likely to increase and more bruises during altercations due to those metal rings. Hand-to-hand with sausages expected to increase apprehension rate, as police need only give their canine officer a whiff of brat for tracking. NRA is considering a new name, National Rifle and Wurst Association, NRWA. And now you can find my series, Does This Happen to You, in written form on chinillo.com. Thanks so much for listening. If you like these stories or my podcast, please share and let me know. You'll find me on Twitter at Chris KK Aria, Pinterest, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Remember, it's Chris with a K. I'm always looking for fun stories to narrate, so if you're an author or writer with a story which fits the Does This Happen to You theme, please contact me or comment on my Podbean page. Want to hear more stories like this more often? Please become my podcast patron. Just click the link on my Podbean page.